That word hope, man, that speaks to me. I had no hope until Jesus Christ got on the cross and died for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm unworthy. I know that. Genesis chapter 15 this morning. We spent all that time practicing for the choir, and then this is what I get. Maybe there's a reason for that. I think it sounded pretty good today. But praise the Lord for being in His house on Easter. And I hope for you this isn't the first time you've talked to Christ this week or that you've worshiped Christ this week. Because, man, He wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something. Man, praise the Lord for Gilgrove Baptist Church and for Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 15, we'll read verse 6 and then we'll pray. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning unworthy. God, we come here this morning, Lord God, knowing that nothing we could do in this life would ever, Lord God, match up to your perfect life and what you have done for us. Lord, we can't do it by ourselves. And Lord God, this morning we focus, Lord God, on the cross. Lord, everything in this Bible rotates and revolves around the cross and the blood shed for us, Lord God. But then this morning, Lord God, we celebrate victory. Lord God, we celebrate victory through the resurrection. And God, as I listen to these last two songs, Lord, even the choir songs, and we talk about Jesus being alive. And Lord God, I think about, Lord God, the song, "Were You There?" And Lord, I think a problem for many of us today is we don't tremble. We don't tremble at what you've done. Lord God, and in the hope that you've given us, Lord God, this morning, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord God, may Easter Sunday 2024 be the day. God, you want to do something at Gilgrove Baptist Church. You don't want us just to come and celebrate Easter and go home. Lord God, you want to work here in this place this morning. Holy Spirit, move throughout this place, Lord God. Touch some hearts, Lord. Touch some lives, Lord. Those that are saved, Lord, to get back to a consistent walk with Jesus Christ. And Lord, most importantly, those that aren't saved this morning to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They will never regret it. Never regret it. Lord God, this morning, be with Pastor John Mark. Lord, I pray for him to have power this morning. I know others have as well. Lord God, may your hand be upon him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thanks, Brother Jason. And great to have you here on this Easter Sunday morning. Thanks for all the and special music, the choir, man, great job. And just focusing on what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then and the offertory with, this is what offertories are supposed to do. Joanna did a great job on that with Mrs. Hayes. But as she was playing, then I'm thinking of the words to that song. And that's what it's supposed to do, get us to focus on what that's about. And then thank you to the ladies, man. I love that song. And, you know, we... Brother Jason touched on this. There's a behind me the symbol of the cross. But you know that cross is empty. Jesus isn't on the cross anymore, right? And that tomb is empty. Jesus is not there anymore because, unlike every other religion that's out there, we serve a risen Savior. And so thankful to celebrate that today on Easter Sunday. Now, this is not going to be traditional Easter message. We're in Genesis, right? I did skip ahead a little bit. So those of you all been here week by week, we'll get back and cover a chapter or two that we skipped over. But really want to talk about one verse today in Genesis chapter 15. And Brother Jason read that for us in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. And again, speaking of Abraham here, it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." And a little background, if you read the first five verses, you'll see what's going on here. Abraham had been given a promise by God about 10 years before, at least. 75 years old, he left his home. And so for 10 years now, he'd come to the land that God had told him to go to Canaan. And now he's there and sort of waiting on what God is going to do, waiting on God's promise and not sure exactly what's going to happen next. And so as this promise that God has given Abraham, hey, you're going to be a great nation, a great people, and God's going to do something through you that's going to affect the rest of the world. There's this nation that's going to come just from you, Abraham. And 10 years later, not only is there not a great nation, Abraham doesn't even have any children. And Abraham now, 85 years old instead of 75, his wife of roughly 9 or 10 years younger than he was, so she's now, ladies in her mid-70s, all right, and no child yet. And so Abraham's just not sure what God's doing, and so he asked God a question. Look back in verse number 2, and Abraham said, "Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And so he says, "Lord, what's, you know, you've given me a promise. What's coming next? And I don't have any children. You've told me about this great nation. There's not even children." And then Abraham gives him a suggestion. And he mentions Eliezer in verse number 2 and verse 3. "And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." He said, if I was to die today and leave everything, it would be to my steward here, and maybe that's who you have, and maybe that's what you're talking about. And so he's not sure what God's doing. God speaks to him. The word of God comes in verse number 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," he, first of all, God rejects the suggestion that Abraham made. He said, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." He says, Abraham, it's going to be your own son. It's going to be your seed. In verse 5, "And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars that thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." God reiterates his promise to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I want you to look at the sky. I want you to look at the stars up there. And I want you to see, can you count all the stars? And of course, there's no way Abraham could do that. And God says, I want you, this is a promise from me. That's what your seed is going to be, your descendants are going to be as great as the stars of heaven. Now, it's one thing for us to read that now, and we know that all the people that have come and from Abraham and Father Abraham, but it's another thing for Abraham to look up at the sky and he doesn't have a child. And he's 85 years old. And what happens? Abraham, none of this has come to fruition yet. God told him 10 years ago, you're going to have a great nation that's going to come out of you. Nothing's happened. And so we get to verse 6. The Bible says this, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." I want to talk this morning about Abraham's response to God's word. And this morning for us, as we respond to the truth of the word of God, 3 different times in the New Testament, this verse is mentioned. 3 different times it's quoted. I want to go to those 3 different places. I want you to focus on what each of these verses focuses on. The first one is Galatians chapter 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3. In the book of Galatians, as Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, trying to teach them, hey, that's not by works that we get to heaven. He uses this example. And so in Galatians chapter 3, in verse number 6, he quotes from Genesis chapter 15, and the verse there in Galatians 3, verse 6 says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." When Abraham heard the word of God, and let me tell you this morning, this is where it starts for us. When Abraham heard the word of God, he believed in the Lord. He believed what God said. Abraham received and believed God's word. This morning, there's no way you're going to ever get to heaven if you don't receive and believe what God said in his word. And that's what Abraham does first. We have the focus of this verse in Galatians on the faith of Abraham. Look at verse number 8 in Galatians chapter 3. "And the scripture, the word of God, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith." Isn't this great? In the Old Testament, foreseeing what God was going to do, he would justify the heathen. Who's the heathen? That's us. That's the Gentiles. He would justify the heathen. How? "Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Hey, the gospel, Abraham was given the gospel that, hey, this is what God is going to do one day. A promised seed that's going to come really through you, Abraham. And that promised seed is the one that's going to die on the cross for the sins of everyone. And so Abraham received that gospel. Those that receive the gospel of Christ, it tells us in verse number 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Hey, those children of faith, even those that are heathen, even those that were not Jews, were not descendants of Abraham, the way we get to heaven is through faith. Look, this morning, you believe in something. You believe in something. Say, well, I don't believe all that. Hey, there's something you believe in. You may not believe, hey, this is where I'm going to heaven when I die. You may believe, hey, you can't know. Or you may believe, I don't know if you're good enough. But there's something. And you say, well, I don't believe any of that. There's something you believe in. Something you believe in. Hey, there's something that you trust in. Some of you this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may be trusting the fact, hey, I hope I'm good enough. Hey, I'm trusting that God wouldn't send me to hell. I'm trusting that there's not anything beyond this life. We just die and that's it. Now, you can trust and believe in all those things. There's nothing in the Word of God that supports what you believe, but you believe that. Listen, there's all kinds of beliefs, and I don't know what the beliefs are in this room, but you go out in this world, there's all kinds of beliefs. Everybody believes in something. Maybe you believe, hey, it's really not that important. What we do here on earth, and we're just going to die, and we all go in the grave. We'll believe something. Abraham believed in the Word of God and in what God had told him was going to happen. And listen, this morning, you know what I'm trusting to get me to heaven? It's not what I am. No, it's what He's done for me. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the gospel. And Abraham believed what God had said. He believed the truth of the Scripture. And so it tells us in verse number 7, they're the same are the children of Abraham. In verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham believed what God said there in verse number 6. And because of that, look at verse number 11, Galatians 3. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just shall live by faith. Abraham was justified by faith. Hey, he believed in God's promise, what God said He was going to do one day. And so that belief and that promise of God, the just shall live by faith. Look at verse number 11. It tells us no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. You say, well, I'm going to try to be as good as I can. The Bible says no man, nobody. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good you treat people. I don't care how nice you are. We were behind a car. What was with me? Jeremiah? We were behind a car, had one of those bumper stickers on it, you know, and I can't even remember. It said three different things, and I can't remember what the first two were, but the last one was, my religion is being good. I thought, that's sad, because that's not taking you anywhere. Hey, if your religious morning is being good, hey, I'm going to go out and be good. Well, hey, what you think is good may not be what I think is good. Hey, what somebody says is good to do, that may not be what I think is good to do or what this person thinks. Man, if your religion this morning, what you trust in is being good, that's the thought. Man, that's sad. That person, if that's who they believe, you know what? They're on the way to eternal hell. I'm not glad about that at all. But if you're trusting in being good, that's not enough. That's not enough. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. They cannot be you cannot be justified by the works of the law, by what is good. You know why? Verse 12, because the law is not of faith. And the law is not of faith. When you're doing your own thing, your own works, you're not trusting in Christ. And then Abraham's blessing applies to all those. Verse number 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's not just Jews, that's the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. How does it come through Christ? Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. You know, Abraham was justified by faith. No man is justified by the law. Abraham's that blessing through Jesus Christ applies to everybody, the redemption that comes through Christ. And once we're saved, look at verse 14, the verse that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hey, if I'm saved this morning, I have the promise of the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Hey, justified by faith. Justified by faith, not by my works. Abraham believed God. And then look all the way. In fact, let's build up to this. Let's start in verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he saith not to seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed which is Christ. The seed that would come through Abraham, that was Christ. And then look, let's go all the way to verse number 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The only way I can become a child of God is by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. Ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That's it. Verse 29, and if ye be Christ, look at this. If we're saved this morning, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know what? We're heirs of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, this morning, what do you believe in? Abraham believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. Then go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, another time here that this verse is mentioned. Abraham's belief was not in himself. It wasn't in his good works. It wasn't in his religion. It was not in the law. His belief was in the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed the Lord. We talked about that. This verse here, we're emphasizing the second part of the verse, and it was counted unto him. In this chapter, you'll see the word counted or reckoned or imputed many, many times throughout this chapter. And that's all three of those terms are accounting terms. Those things that are put on your account. To have something imputed means something to be put on your account. To be reckoned is something that's put on your account. And so as Abraham believed God, that belief, that faith was imputed, was counted unto him. Look at verse number 9. It says, for we say, the end of the verse, we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. It was put on his account. Go back to verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If we try to work for our salvation, then we're not reckoned. Grace is not put on our account. You know what's put on our account? A debt. Because as we try to work, we can't meet the requirements it would take for us to get to heaven. So everybody here is going to have a shortage. All right? All of us, no matter how good we are, there's going to be a shortage on our account because we're going to be in debt to Christ. We can't pay it. And so Abraham, as he believed the word of God by faith, then it was counted, it was given to him. Understand, look at verse number 7. Saying, this is quoting David in the Old Testament, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Hey, those whose sins are covered are blessed. What does God do? Look at verse number 6. Even as David also described the blessing of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. Now again, that term to add to their account, imputeth righteousness without works. So David says in the Old Testament, hey, blessed is that person who God adds that righteousness to their account, but they doesn't add that through works, no, without works. So what God does for us when we're saved, he adds righteousness to our account. And not only that, in verse number 8, blesses the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Hey, he does not add the sin. He imputes the righteousness that works, but not the sin. And so where's that imputation? Where's that reckoning? Where's that adding to come from? Go all the way down to, man, this is such a great passage. Go to verse number 13. I'm gonna read several verses here. Look at the example that Abraham gives us. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So this promise to Abraham through the righteousness of faith. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made without effect. If we're of the law and we can still get to heaven, then faith is void. That promise of God doesn't have any value at all. Verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. You know what the law is good for? It tells us what is right and what is wrong. It can't save us. All it does is show us what's right and what's wrong. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace.
to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, it's Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. Hey, Abraham believed God, and Brother Jason talked about hope. The Bible says against hope. Abraham, everything's going against what he's believing, but he still believes it. Why? Because God said it. Because it's the promise of God. Verse 20, and this is great. Verse 19, I'm sorry. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Hey, he's too old. Now, we mentioned he's 85 years old. It's going to be another 15 years before he has this child. When he's about 100 years old, neither that the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider those things. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What a great example Abraham is for us. Hey, there's no way this could happen. There's no way it could work. But because God said it, Abraham said, I still believe it. I still believe it. Hey, let me tell you something. I don't care what the world says. The Bible says the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Since God said it, I believe it. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what makes sense. Abraham believed what God said, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He believed everything God said God could do. And therefore, it was imputed. It was added to him. It was given to his account. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, that's a great thing about Abraham, but I want you to notice the end of this chapter. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Hey, not just for Abraham. Look at verse 24. But look at those next words. But for us also. Hey, it's not just Abraham's story in the Old Testament. He believed that. No, no, no. It's not just written for him. It's for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What do we have to believe? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Hey, that's what it's all about this morning. It's not just he was crucified. I believe he's risen again. And when I believe that by faith, God imputes that to my account. He puts that on my account. Because I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was raised again for our justification. Hey, this morning, what has God put on your account? I brought these this morning. Now, these are, I have to confess, these are blank, okay? But these are a register to keep track of your money. Now, some of y'all that do your online banking now, you haven't seen one of these in years, all right? But I have, I remember when I was, my wife and I were dating, and I was saving up to get her an engagement ring. And I had had one of these bank books, and I would work and put my money, because I wanted to pay for the whole thing. I didn't want to put anything on credit. I just want to pay for the whole thing. And so I worked for months, would take my paycheck, and I would take it over to the bank and put it in an account. And that was my account. I remember writing it down every time and in a little book here. Okay, how much do I have? How much do I have? How much do I have? And waiting until I could get enough that I needed. And I still remember taking that and writing that check. I finally got up, took months, and finally writing that check for $100. She's not here today, all right? Alyssa's sick. My wife never misses Easter. Don't tell her, all right? But clearing out that account and getting her that ring. But, you know, when that was done, all that money was gone. There was nothing left. You know what God does for us? If this bank book represented my life, and those things that were good and those things, you know what it would be? It would be subtraction, it would be debt after debt after debt. That's my life. I don't care how good. Well, yeah, but remember the one time where I helped that little lady across the street? That's not in there because I'm a sinner. The Bible says all my righteousness is as filthy rags. And so this book is full of debt. It's my life. Full of debt. You know, when Jesus died on the cross for me and I accepted Jesus Christ
You know what happened to this book? It's gone. All that debt, all that sin. And by the way, it's not put away for God to bring back up later. No, no, no. It's gone no more. No more debts. No more sin. Doesn't mean I won't ever sin again. It means every sin has been covered by the blood of Christ. And that's great, man. That is one. But you know what? That's not all. God didn't just take that sin away. You know what? I got a new book. I got a new book. And there's not my name on the outside. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And so now, when I open my book, there's only credits. There's no debits. There's no sin. It's, you know what it is? It's Christ's righteousness and Christ's righteousness and Christ's righteousness. That's the book I get to carry around now. Hey, he didn't just get rid of my sin. He put on my account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So not as just my account wiped away. Yeah, that sin is gone. There's no more. No, I've got a new book right here that has, hey, when I can show that to God, hey, look what's in my book. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He imputed unto us when we were saved. Not only did he take that sin away, but look what it says. We read it in verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses, yes, but was raised again for our what? For our justification. I'm justified through Christ. When God looks at me, it's just as if I never sinned. Hey, this morning, if you've never been saved, you're carrying around a bank book that's full of debt. Can't pay it. Can't pay it. Hey, you know what you need? You need to get a new book. You need to get a new book. You need to get rid of that old one and go to Christ and say, Christ, I need forgiveness of my sins and trust Christ. That righteousness of Christ, and we'll end with that. Go to James chapter 2. Abraham believed God. And when he believed God, it was counted unto him. It was counted unto him. It was added to his account. No longer. No longer did he have an account full of sin. No more. Look at James chapter 2. And the third time here that the New Testament quotes this verse in verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know, James, the book of James is all about our faith being shown through our works. And in fact, in this passage, if you go back to verse number 21, he uses the example in Genesis 22 to show what happened in Genesis 15, verse 21 of James 2. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Hey, it says in Genesis 22, we'll get that later in our study of Genesis, when Abraham offers Isaac, what do we see? We see the works of Abraham match up with what he said back in chapter 15, right? And that's what's supposed to happen in our life. If we're saved this morning, an evidence of our salvation is our works don't save us, no. But if we're saved, other people should see, hey, there's a change, there's a difference in their life. And he says, hey, Genesis 22 shows us that Abraham really did believe back in Genesis chapter 15. This morning, your righteousness, your work, those things you do after you're saved, all they do is show that you are saved. It's a demonstration to others. Your faith will lead you to works. Our works are not what we rest on. No, our faith is what we rest on, but that leads us to doing the works that God wants us to do. That righteousness that comes through Christ. Last verse, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So what happened on Easter Sunday? What happened that week as Jesus was crucified before and then 3 days and three nights in the tomb? 2 Corinthians 5, the last verse of the chapter. For he hath made him to be sin for us. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, I heard a preacher talking about this week. When Jesus was on the cross, every vile thing, every wicked thing, every depraved thing in this world. And we think about just our lives and how wicked and ungodly that is. But you talk about the world, you think about just the wickedness that's on the internet today. You think about the wickedness that's in, not just what we see on the internet, the dark web and the stuff, just so depraved. The Bible tells us that in the last days it would be like the days of Noah, we talked about a few weeks ago, where every imagination and thought was only wicked continuing. And all that wickedness, all that sin was put on Jesus at the cross. Now, Jesus never sinned. In fact, it tells us that in this verse. It says, who knew no sin? But he was made to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Mary, we'll turn there for time's sake. But remember on the cross and the thief on the cross, and one's making fun of Jesus and the other one says, hey, whoa. Hey, we're up here because we deserve it. But this man has done nothing amiss. He hasn't done anything wrong. Hey, we had a Savior that died for us who was a perfect sacrifice. He never sinned. And yet he was made to be sin for us. All that sin was put on him. Hey, by the way, we understand. That's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because his Father had to turn his back on him. He couldn't look on sin. And all that sin, your sin and my sin, went on Jesus. And why was that? What's the last part of the verse say? That we might be made, what? The righteousness of God in him. Hey, he took all your sin and my sin. All your sin and my sin. So he could give me this new book. And we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, what do you believe this morning? You know what I believe? I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe that he rose again the third day. That's not just something we celebrate and it's a great time on Easter. No. That's what I believe. You know why I believe it? Because that's what God's word says. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Father, this morning, I don't know everyone's heart. Lord, I can't see what goes on the inside as I'm speaking this morning and preaching and talking about the Word of God, as the music is sung that glorifies God, as our voices are lifted up in praise to you. I can't see what's on the inside of each person's heart. I don't know what they believe. Just as we read in the book of James, Lord, there's evidences we can see. There's things we can observe that may help us figure out what this person believes or what that person believes, Lord, but I don't know. I don't know. This morning, Lord, I can't see the inside. Lord, but I know you can. And Lord, I pray there's everyone that's within the sound of my voice this morning realizes, Lord, no matter what we look like on the outside or no matter what we think that others may know or think about us, Lord, you know our hearts. You know. And this morning, Lord, you know those who have trusted you as Savior. Lord, I pray that's everyone in here. I sure hope so. But you know those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for them. And Lord, this Sunday for them is a celebration, excited about what you've done, looking forward to the future. Lord, there could be someone here this morning within the sound of my voice that today's not an exciting day. Maybe they came because family invited them or they felt like they needed to come because it's Easter Sunday. Or maybe they're here on every Sunday and they came again because it's Sunday morning. I don't know. But Lord, I pray that you deal with their heart this morning. And Lord, if they've never accepted what the Word of God says, Lord, if they're trying to work their way to heaven, if they think they're comfortable where they are, that it's not that important, Lord, I pray that you touch their heart, convict their heart this morning. And I pray this morning, they trade in that bank book that's full of debt and say, Lord, I can't pay my own debt. I can't do it. I need the righteousness of Christ. Lord, I pray that this morning. Those that are saved, Lord, I pray, as the Bible tells us, the just shall live by faith. I pray we live a life a life that understanding we're free from the bondage of sin. We don't have to go back to those things. Lord, do with our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, nobody looking around, let me ask you this morning, has there been a day when you didn't just say, hey, I believe in God and all that, and oh, I'm sure that's good for some people. No, there was a day when you realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, not for the sins of no, for your sins. And there was a day when you accepted what Jesus had done for you. And there was a day when you said, hey, I can't do it, Lord, on my own. I need you. I need forgiveness of sins. And these sins is what's going to take me to hell. I need the forgiveness of those. And Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I accept you as my Savior, saving me from those sins. I believe that you died, you rose again. This morning you say, I remember a time when I did that, when I accepted what Jesus Christ did for me. And I know this morning, as we talked about this morning, I'm not going to heaven because I'm good, but I know I'm going to heaven this morning because I've accepted what Christ has done. I believe what God's Word says. If you can stand, let me slip your hand up like you don't say, no, I'm saved this morning. You can pinch your hand right down. Thank you. Here this morning, and again, I want you to think about you. Because look, there's going to be a day we stand before God. The Bible tells us, all of us. It won't be, boy, what's this crowd think? No. I mean, what'd you do with Jesus Christ? And this morning, maybe it's you that God's dealing with your heart. He said, be honest with you, I don't know for sure if I was to die today. I'd spend eternity in heaven. Maybe you're trusting in some things that you thought were fine, but they're not what the Word of God says. And this morning you say, pray for me. I'm not sure about my salvation. If you're like this morning, I won't embarrass you. I promise you that. But I want you to be honest before God and nobody looking around. You just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure if I was to die today. I could spend eternity in heaven. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me this morning. Pray for me. Hey, is God dealing with your heart this morning? Is He? Man, don't walk away from the truth of the Word of God. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were telling me about the Sunday they came forward and got saved. And they said, I really believe if I walked away that Sunday, I'd rejected it before. I may never would have gotten saved. Man, don't let that happen to you. You say, well you know, just not now. Not now. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But I promise that. If you're here this morning, you say, I just don't know for sure. Music starts to play. You get down here. You talk to me. We'll get somebody to show you the Word of God, what it says, so that you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. As the music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Man, thanks so much for being here on Easter. I'm sorry we went a little longer than we normally do, all right? So come back next Sunday. We'll get you out a little bit earlier. But, man, so glad you're here on this Sunday morning. And have a great Easter Sunday. Man, a beautiful day, isn't it? Man, a wonderful day God has given us. So enjoy that. 6 o'clock tonight, we'll have the Lord's Supper in here. So be back for that after for tonight's service. And, of course, got Wednesday night as well. And then do we have, where did I see? I'm looking upstairs. I'm looking, oh, where's Ms. Winfield, did we bring that this morning or not? Is that okay? So where will you be then? Okay. So over there, they just had a fresh batch of new bunnies that were born. Just little ones, man, and they wanted to bring them out. So they'll be over there if you want to take the kids by and take a look at those on your way out. So, man, they just had that and wanted to share that. So that's great. And so, yeah, get by there on your way out. They'll be over sort of over the, past the parking lot there over near that shed. So anyway, head that direction. And, man, have a great Easter Sunday. Father, thank you so much for all you do for us. Give us, a great day today. And also, man, good service tonight, and just meet with us, Lord. And I pray that you may work in our hearts. So we know this, Lord, the truth is there in the Word of God. And I pray that we take that and share that with those that we love. Lord, I pray again, Lord, just deal with hearts this morning. There's someone not saved, Lord. I pray they take care of that today in Jesus' name. Amen.